Or hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these he might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you, and abound, they shall make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind, and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure, for if you do these things, you shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Well, as we look into this series, I've been trying to introduce to you the idea of the fact, because I started really about a month or so ago now to say we were going to go this direction, and then had a couple weeks off, and now we started it last week. But the thought that I'm driving home for the next month, a month and a half that we're going to look into this series, is the fact that there are some qualities, there are some attributes, there are some attitudes that we ought to develop in our lives if we are going to be successful, as this passage puts it, to be fruitful as we grow as believers. And this is something that has been a burden on my heart for really a long time. I've been praying about where to go as I've been recognizing what I believed as a need for us to focus on in our class as we go forward, as we try to navigate the day and age in which we live. Because if I try to address every single circumstance that you and I are ever going to encounter in life, I think you know that we certainly would not have time. I don't know if I would even be intelligent enough to figure them all out, to say, well, I'm going to teach a lesson on this, I'm going to teach a lesson on that, I'm going to go this direction, we're going to teach the series on this. And it just, there's only so much time that we have. And I think that this epistle represents that mentality as well. Peter, as I said last week, was getting near to the end of his life. It says in verse number 14, so just a couple verses after we stopped reading, Peter was writing, he says, knowing that shortly I must put off my tabernacle, which if you, even as our Lord Jesus Christ has showed me, if you understand the biblical language, that is a reference to dying. It's his tabernacle is going to put off this body, and he's going to put on the new one, as Paul put it in 1 Corinthians chapter number 15. And so Peter was saying, I'm about to die. My life is about to come to its end. And as I come to that point, there are some things I want to remind you about. And I love the fact that his final words are some of his shortest words. And he knows he can't say a great amount of things. And so he loaded down every statement in such a way that there's just an abundance of things that really will grow out of them. I think it's pretty similar with Paul. You know, some of his longest writings were some of his earliest writings. And so maybe as I get older, I'll preach shorter and shorter and shorter. And so because that seems to be maybe a natural trend. And so so he was saying, and Paul, you know, 1 Corinthians being one of his first letters is also one of the longest. Romans, one of the earlier ones as well. And then 2 Timothy is really one of the shortest. And so you find that maybe that they're saying here, I don't have a lot of time left, but with the time that I have, I'm going to say some very important things. And Peter, if you go to 1 Peter chapter number 1, you find what Peter is doing is he's addressing really a broad group of people. It says in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse number 1, Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, Bithynia, and Bithynia. And so what he's saying is, I'm writing to everybody that is a believer. They're not strangers to him. They're strangers where they are. He's saying, you're scattered all throughout the known world, really. And I'm writing to you. It's known, these are known as general epistles. They're not to a specific group. They're just to the collection at large. And Peter's saying, with my final letter, I have some very important things to say. And I think it's really interesting that what he does at the very beginning as he imparts to them what we're going to call throughout this series essential virtues for the Christian life. If you are going to, if you focus, Peter basically says, on making sure these things are developing in your life, they will help you in every circumstance. And so instead of trying to hit every single area of life that could potentially be faced as a believer, he goes to the fundamental things and he tells them, work on these. Because if you are a person of virtue in that scenario, then it will carry you through. If you have the knowledge of God in that circumstance, it will help you. If you have developed patience when the trials come, that will be of great value to you. So instead of talking about trials, he just says, add to your faith patience and the things that had led up to it. And so last week we talked about faith, and we're not going to rehash that really at all today, except I want you to understand, as we get to the last point of what I was looking at last week with you, faith's development. Faith had had some different things that that went up to it. We had the divine nature that was imparted to us and the power that accompanies that. But when we get to verse number 5 and following, we find that Peter does something very unique. He just puts a list in there. And what I wanted is I wanted today to really be a focus on that list. Because if you're like me, when you get to a list in the Bible, you kind of blaze through it without much thought. Because we could read that, you know, there's like just two or three verses that add to your faith virtue, and virtue knowledge, knowledge temperance, temperance patience, patience godliness, godliness brotherly kindness, brotherly kindness, charity, if these things be in you and abound. And the list is already done. And I hope you understand, just in the way that I'm saying it, that's really not why God put a list in the Bible, because it's easy to read, right? It's not just because, well, here's some things that... No, those were important things that Peter just didn't have time to elaborate. And this entire series is going to be about elaborating on each and every one of those things. But I want you to notice the list today. Because what we find, first of all, is that its foundation is the faith that we have. And it is essential for you and I to realize this. There's a lot of moral people in our world. People that, there's a lot less maybe than there used to be, but there's a lot of people that try to do good. They try to be good to their families. They try to work well at their job. They try all kinds of different things. If you, I enjoy listening to presidential biographies, and probably the president I have enjoyed listening to the most is Teddy Roosevelt. And Teddy Roosevelt was a very moral person. He kind of had that moral crusader persona as he was leading into the progressive era out of the late 1800s into the early 1900s. But I don't even have any idea really if he was a believer or not. His dad was, and it did a lot of influencing in that, but if he was asked about it later on in his life, it wasn't really all that clear. And what I want us to realize is morality is really almost pointless unless it's accompanied by faith. If you live a life that's like upstanding and great and awesome, but you're only earthly focused, you, and I'm obviously I'm making some statements that are probably a little bit stronger, but I don't have time to maybe caveat to obviously say if you live a moral life, you're probably going to live a happier life than if you don't. So I'm not saying, well, just go live immorally because it's awesome. That's not the point. But morality, if you're a person of integrity, if you're going to sacrifice your finances, maybe even for someone else, and do all the things that would maybe grow out of this, divorced from faith has very little purpose, or a significantly lower purpose than if it is accompanied by faith. But faith plus morality brings to a faith with our morality brings to it a purpose that will completely transform every other one of these virtues. And so Peter says, faith is the foundation. Add to your faith all of these virtues, and that will produce the life that just about everybody in the world looks for. And so that's the foundation, but the list itself is just something that is intriguing. You know, there's a lot of lists in the New Testament. There's, and this is not the most popular one. If I kind of guided you along, maybe some of you would instantaneously think of another list that would maybe be a little bit more popular, but I'll just give it to you. Probably the most popular list in the New Testament is the fruits of the Spirit, right? Yeah, the fruits of the Spirit are, you know, love, joy, peace, and all of these different things. And if you look into these lists, there's one other one that's a little bit different, but that would be the list in 1 Corinthians that shows us what love is like. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, the chapter on love. But if you look at each one of these very essential lists, this is the only one that is not a list of contrasts. The fruits of the Spirit is a contrast against the works of the flesh. The list on what love is like is really just a list that defines one of these attributes, charity being in this list itself. But this list stands alone in its content to present to all of us a list of just saying, you know, the fruits of the Spirit, the works of the flesh, there's something that's a more central theme there. And that is to walk in the Spirit. If you walk in the Spirit, that's the whole concept of that chapter in the book of Galatians. If you walk in the Spirit, these things will come out. But the focus is the Spirit-guided life. But here, the focus actually is developing these things. Because what you actually find in that, and I've even been saying it wrong here this morning, it's not the fruit of the Spirit that we're to work on. It's the fruit of the Spirit. It's just a singular mention. So really what Paul was saying is if you have the Spirit in your life, these things will result. But what Peter says here is work on these things. Paul doesn't say, make sure you're loving, make sure you're long-suffering, make sure you're these things. He says, make sure you walk in the Spirit. Peter says, work on this. And so we've come to the list that really is at the center of what you and I should say. If a Christian is supposed to be a certain way, what is that way? That's what this list tells us. That's why we're going to focus on it. Because if these are the things that Peter said to the groups of believers he was writing to are going to be the things that make you fruitful in every circumstance that you're in, this is what it means to be a Christian, then that's what we want to focus on building into our lives as well. And that's really the language of the text. Peter is telling them, as you look at it, if we were to dig in and get to know the text and the language that's used, it's unique in the fact that what Peter does here is he actually tells them that you are to take each one of these things and add them to the other. You say, well, yeah, that's exactly what it says. Well, I want you to understand what that actually means, though. J.A. Bengel said, each step gives birth to and facilitates the next. Each subsequent quality, so the one after quality, balances and brings to perfection the one that is preceding. The language that is being used here, Peter is saying, as you go throughout your life, you are to focus on each one of these qualities in turn. And the order is significant. You know, this list had to be written in this order. And I'm going to try to draw that out as we go throughout each one of these lessons over the next few weeks. But faith is the beginning. And then you went to virtue, and to virtue knowledge. And what Peter does here is he puts them in an order that says this. After you have faith, you have to have a passion for moral excellence, which is really what virtue is. It's something that is a little bit broader than we would use it maybe today in our society. But then you add to that the knowledge that makes that even more perfect. You know, we've all met people who were zealous, but they didn't really know what they were zealous about, right? I mean, they're just excited to be there. If you were, I know I mentioned them again, I watched the Alabama game again yesterday. It's like the only 2 weeks in a row I've ever watched football, 2 weeks in a row. But I watched it again last week, and there were probably some people in that crowd last night, they didn't know what was going on, right? They have no clue. They don't know what football is. You know, Samuel's asking me questions. He don't even know what the end zone is. He don't know, what's a touchdown, you know? And but he was excited. Zealous. Without knowledge. You know, like there's that passion, but he had no idea what he's excited about, right? There were some people who were not excited last night too, but we won't mention them. But that's an illustration of the point. So knowledge brings to perfection the preceding quality. And so they build on one another. But at the same time, you can't just say, well, I'm going to work on this one for a month, and then this one for a month, and then this one for a month, and by the end of 8 months, I should probably have it all in place. You know, there was a pretty famous person in history that did something like that. His name was Benjamin Franklin, and he chose the qualities that he felt were the most essential for the human life. And he said, for a month at a time, I'm going to exclusively try to perfect that quality. And at the end of his experiment, you know what he realized? By the end of month number two, he had pretty well slacked off and failed at the one that he had tried to perfect in month number one. So what is actually implied here is that each one of these qualities is developed sequentially, in order. You can't really have charity without brotherly kindness, a love for just everybody in general, without a that familial relationship that you should have with those who are within your own family, as a Christian family, it's so on and so forth. So they are sequential, but they're simultaneous as well. Think about it this way. Becca's pregnant. You all know that. And in case you hadn't heard, we're having a boy. Somebody just asked me earlier today, have you found out what it is? And so that was another reason I was late. And so we are expecting this baby to be born on April the 2nd. Right now, there are parts of that baby that are developing at a quicker pace and in advance to other parts of that baby. Like, the head of a little baby inside the womb is significantly larger than the rest of the body. And that obviously continues for quite some time. Because the brain, as it is for most of us, maybe not this early on a Sunday morning, is the thing that's driving everything else we're doing. And it also has a significant role in the development of a baby inside the womb. And so the brain develops earlier than the pinky toe. But at the same time, everything's growing all at once. So some things might come earlier because of their necessity for the development of all the rest. But you can't just say, well, I'm going to develop this in a vacuum, and I'll get to that eventually. So God's expectation for all of us is not to say, well, one day I'll be charitable. It's, I'm going to work on it right now. But some of these other things are going to lead to that much more naturally. And so we're going to go on this path together as we try to develop ourselves as the believers God wants us to be. So let's pray. Father, thank you for the day that you've given to us today. Thank you for this study. I pray that you'd bless it as we go throughout it over the next month and a half. And the Lord, we look forward to all of it and the one that is to follow that as well. We're just so excited about what you're doing here. And I pray for your blessings in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Thank you very much for being here. You're dismissed.